The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, a very good afternoon to you.
A very good afternoon to you too.
And are you back home?
I'm back in my office / studio. All quiet with the world.
So, Rolene, Prime Minister Lapid has departed for the opening of the UN General Assembly. It's believed he'll also have meetings on the side. And what is the opening of the UNGA, the UN General Assembly, and why is it so important?
Well, the Prime Minister has landed in New York ahead of the UNGA, which actually opened a short while ago. So this is the official opening of the UN General Assembly. This is when all the heads of state converge at the United Nations headquarters in New York. Now, these are heads of state of countries that are members of the UN. So I like to call it my annual Super Bowl, because this is a very busy time for us analyzing what is said, particularly by the American president, by the leader of Iran, what Mahmoud Abbas is going to say, and of course what our own prime minister is going to say. So it opens a short while ago with the Secretary General Antonio Guterres taking aim at the conflicts in the world, including the ongoing conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. But, you know, we're going to be watching what our prime minister says. My bets are going is that he's going to address Iran in some way and anti-Semitism in some way. But what is very, very heartening is that he is expected to meet with the Turkish president Erdogan later today on the sidelines of the UN. And just yesterday, Erdogan telling American Jewish leaders that he hopes to visit Israel sometime soon. So really a relation between our two countries that continues to warm.
And do we have any idea what he will say in his speech?
Who, our prime minister?
Yes.
I think he's going to warn or caution the world about Iran very, very strongly. I think he will also talk about rising anti-Semitism around the world and that more needs to be done to fight it. And I think he will also pay tribute to the Abraham Accords and possibly put out a clarion call to other nations to join. You know, we've had this very, very pleasantly surprised news today that there are two delegations, one from Pakistan, one from Indonesia, two Muslim majority countries, countries that don't have bilateral ties with Israel. Indonesia, we don't know who's leading that delegation. Pakistan, headed by former Prime Minister Pervez Musharraf, and he's also scheduled to meet our President Isaac Herzog, back from the UK, very busy today, touring an army base in the Golan, and now off to meet the former Prime Minister of Pakistan, which is absolutely a miracle all in itself. So let's see what Prime Minister Lapid says. But you know, Gary, I will have the analysis for you right here on the Israel Report.
No doubt you will. And Chile's foreign minister has apologized to President Herzog for his president's refusal to accept the Israeli ambassador's credentials last week. What is the backstory to this, Rolene?
Well, funny enough, as we speak, Chile has just addressed the General Assembly, President Boric, calling on the world not to normalize ongoing violations of human rights of the Palestinian people and to uphold international law and the resolutions which this very assembly takes year after year. So I think Chile's foreign minister probably right now has a throbbing sensation in her head. Yesterday on the sidelines after the very, very moving funeral of Queen Elizabeth II, our president and the foreign minister exchanged a few words. The foreign minister said she apologizes on behalf of Chile and really hopes to turn over a new leaf. This follows the news last week that President Boric refused to accept the credentials of our ambassador to Santiago, Gil RTF. Now, this is unprecedented. I've never in all my career heard of a president or prime minister refusing to accept the credentials of an ambassador, a country that we have bilateral ties with. Now, this was roundly condemned by the Chilean political establishment from the left to the right, as well as Chilean Jewish leaders. And the president did apologize. The foreign ministry apologized. Our foreign ministry summoned the Chilean ambassador to Israel for a very strong dressing down, because this really could lead to a major diplomatic spat. And now we know that the ceremony to accept Ambassador Artsiev's credentials has been scheduled for the 30th of September. Now, right now, as we speak, breaking news, we have this incredibly harsh rebuke of Israel by President Boric on his speech at the United Nations.
Any information there?
Well, I'll just read to you what has come in over the wires, that he has called for the UN not to normalize ongoing violations of the human rights of the Palestinian people, to uphold international law and the resolutions which this very assembly takes year after year. However, he then calls on the UN to support guaranteeing Israel's legitimate right to live within safe and internationally recognized borders. So I think he's trying to placate both sides, but I can tell you now, his foreign minister probably is banging her head against a wall.
And just moving on, we don't have too much time, but last question, Raleen. Iran's clampdown on civil rights had tragic consequences last week with the brutal murder of Mahsa Amini. What actually happened there?
Well, this is just horrific. Mahsa Amini is a 22-year-old from Kurdistan, not even an Iranian. She was visiting family in Tehran. Now, there's a law in place in Iran for mandatory wearing of the hijab by women, and women not being allowed to wear pants. However, many women in Iran are refusing to wear the hijab or abide by what they call the modesty laws. And the modesty police arrested Amini and interrogated her quite violently, to the point that she was in a coma and subsequently passed away. The visuals of Amini lying in a coma are absolutely horrific, and it has been roundly condemned around the world that it's just deeply, deeply shocking. Iranian police say that she suffered a heart attack, and we heard these excuses before, everybody. And Iranians taking to protest against the gross violation of her civil rights and essentially of her torturing it to death. And there were clashes with Iranian security forces. Five people are reported to possibly being killed. This is in the Kurdish region of Iran. So it really is a horrific human rights situation, starting. Now, I just want to add my 2 cents in, because I'm just going to do that.
Absolutely.
When Shireen Abu Akleh was killed, as we know, by either horrific mistake or by the other side, the whole world was up in arms, and we saw this massive mobilization of the media. Are we going to see the same for Mahsa Amini?
Well, what's your view? Yes or no?
Well, so far we've only seen some world leaders condemning it, but I want to know, are we going to see protests around the world? Are we going to see CNN, MSNBC, all the usual suspects devoting time and energy to exposing this horrific, horrific murder?
When was she killed, Raleen? Last week?
This was last week. She wasn't killed outright, but she was tortured to the point that she was in a coma.
Terrible, terrible news. Anyway, Rolene, thank you for today's report. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. Rolene, chat to you same time, same place tomorrow afternoon.